Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
All right, we've reached the point in the worship journey where we've sung to God together, we've given and we've returned the tithe, and now it's time to actually meet Him in His Scripture. And this is where we actually begin to say, now God, as you are with us by your Spirit, that you would actually move into our thoughts and shift our ideas around, because God tells us in His Bible that He literally transforms us into new people, Romans 12:2, by changing the way that we think. And He does that through the power of His Bible. And so this morning, we're excited about His message, what He's going to talk to us about. I was thinking about the importance of getting messages correct and getting the right message, both when you're telling somebody what you want them to hear, and then also when you're receiving or listening to somebody talk, the message is important to really get. And it came home to me when I remembered something about 30 years ago when I was dating who is now my wife. At that point, she was just a young lady that I was really attracted to. And so I took her on a date. We were actually out. I can't remember the restaurant we went to. What I do remember is at the end of the date, we're on my motorcycle, which was a great way to date unless you're a dad, and then it's a terrible idea to do that. I don't know what in the world possessed her dad to let me go on a date with his daughter on my motorcycle. But it was a Honda 700 Nighthawk. Maybe he thought it was a cool bike. I don't know what it was. But anyway, at the end of that date, we took our helmets off and we were talking there at the motorcycle. And we were just talking about different things or whatever it was in the driveway. And all of a sudden, she stuck her hand out to me and she said, "It's really nice to have met you." And I said, "Well, it's nice to meet you too." And then she went back in the house and I hung her helmet on the motorcycle and I took off, and as I rode away, I thought, wonder what that means. And pretty soon it dawned on me, I think she was giving me the brush off, like, "It's really nice to meet you, don't call me again." And so I had this idea in my mind that, hey, as good looking as she was, apparently I'm being rejected right here. And I don't know about you, but I hate that feeling. So I'm like, I don't want that again. So I just didn't call her anymore. So a couple weeks later, I was talking to a friend of mine at work. Her name is Allison Smith. You don't know Allison Smith, but you should thank God every day for Allison Smith. Let me tell you why you should thank God for Allison Smith, because she was a concierge at this big conference hotel I worked at in Dallas. And so she was asking, "How's it going with your date and Cherie?" And so I said, "Well, actually, it's not going anymore." She said, "What happened?" So I told her, I said, "It got to the end of this date," and she shook hands with me and said, "It's really nice to meet you." And I said, she just gave me the brush. And she looked at me and she said, "That's stupid." She was not giving you the brush. I said, "Yeah, she said, it's nice to meet you." She said, "David, you don't understand female. She was trying to communicate to you. She really has liked the fact y'all connected. I think she's saying there's a message there that you need to hear." And so anyway, I thought, is this real? And I said, "Allison, you sure?" She said, "You should call her right now." And so I ended up calling her within this short. It was back in the days when you had pagers and beepers and answering machines. Remember that? Well, I found out when I actually talked to her the next time that she had literally from that date gone home every day and she looked at the answering machine to see if I had called. And I hadn't called for 2 weeks and she thought I was mad at her. So we got our messages all mixed up, and the message that was intended to be communicated is not the one that got through to me. So thank God for Allison. And I was thinking about this because if it weren't for Allison Smith, probably I'd have never gone back on a date with her, which means I wouldn't have married her. Pastor Lacey was leading you in praise and worship, who is our daughter, would not be here to lead you in praise and worship. Our son-in-law, James, would not be leading the band today in LifeLink Church. In fact, there probably would be no LifeLink Church. In fact, I'm sure there would be no LifeLink Church, because Pastor Cherie is the secret sauce at LifeLink. I'm just the guy that stands up here and says with my finger waving what Bible says and God's telling us. So anyway, but I just wanted to use that as an illustration that if we don't get the message right, then there are some big things that could go really wrong in life. And so as we're working our way through what we traditionally call Palm Sunday in the Christian faith, I wanted to speak to you about some of the things that we're actually watching and observing from the message that Jesus lived out the week we call the Passion Week, or the week of the Passion, which is the week between the Sunday we're at now, Palm Sunday, and Resurrection Sunday, or culturally speaking, Easter Sunday. So if you're not that familiar with what happened, maybe you didn't grow up with the Bible and you didn't read too much of this to actually connect the dots, what I wanted to do was spend a few minutes with you this morning talking you through some things Jesus did during that week so you get a picture of some things he was working on as he worked his way from Palm Sunday to what the culture around us calls Easter Sunday. And so on Palm Sunday, we actually refer to that as his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So Jesus had been talking about some things that had to happen, and eventually he had demonstrated all these miracles and people were starting to believe in him. And so he actually began his approach into Jerusalem, and he arranged to ride a little donkey. And so as he was riding on this little colt, he moved into there in towards the city, and as he was coming into the city, crowds of people gathered around him and began to shout, you know, joyfully, "Hosanna, you know, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And they were waving palm fronds and putting them on the road in front of him with their coats and whatnot. And they were making this big procession because Jesus was coming in town. And in their mind, they had an idea of what was going to happen. And that was Jesus was going to move into Jerusalem and begin then to overthrow the Roman oppression and their governmental system. And finally, the people of God were going to be back on top again. And Jesus is going to do all of these great things, and they were going to be there to see all of it. So they had this idea in their mind of what was going to be happening this week, and they couldn't have been further from the truth, because what actually happened was Jesus was moving in to that week on his way to the cross, and they still hadn't connected the dots with the message of his life. But that all happened on Sunday. We call that the triumphal entry. On Monday, Jesus actually moves into the temple, and as he walks in, he actually does something that shocks everyone, because you know, they had their order of service, and they had their expectations and the way everything kind of worked. And he moved into that and he said, "Listen, you guys have got it all wrong." He said, "My house would be called a house of prayer." And he said, "You've made it a den of thieves." And he said, "This is not the way God intended worship to be facilitated." He said, "You're using money changers, and you've commercialized worship." He said, "You completely missed the point." So the Bible gives us the picture. He starts turning over tables of what they call the money changers and people who are selling the different sacrifices and whatnot. He was going through this whole process, and he was basically making the point, "You guys have missed the message. Worship is not about the rituals. Worship is about me. Worship is about connecting with God." And he said, "You've commercialized it." So he went through this whole process on Monday and really made the beginnings of a ruckus. Then Tuesday, goes back to the temple, and this was his last day of public ministry and the last day to be there in the temple. And he actually spent that day teaching parables and going through the process of trying to communicate again the heart of God, what was going on, and the things that God actually wanted us to know. And part of that whole process was talking to the church leaders of the day, saying, "Woe to you Pharisees and woe to you church leaders, because you've been using the rituals of religion to wedge people's attention away from who I am and who God is." And he said, "That's not the way God wants this to be." So he actually was working his way through that day. Tuesday was when he taught the many parables that we see in the New Testament, also articulating the great commandment. We actually get that particular day. Ultimately, he was rejected by everyone in authority, and Tuesday is also the day we see Judas conspire with the religious leaders to betray him later on. The Bible gives us the picture of that was what Sunday, Monday, and then Tuesday was like. Wednesday, the Bible is pretty silent about anything major, but Thursday is the day that we actually see him gather together with his disciples, and he went through the Last Supper experience where he actually began to connect with them very intimately, and we get the elements of communion by the cup and the bread there, and so that's where we connect the dots on that big piece that you might be familiar with. But that happened on Thursday, and then from there he went to the Garden of Gethsemane where he was betrayed by Judas. He prayed to the Father, "If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Judas brings the religious leaders and betrays him there. He was arrested and then moved into the beginning of a long night of trials in front of the religious leaders. That spilled over into Friday, where Peter denied him, his number one disciple. Then he moved from that process of being tried by the religious leaders into being tried with the civil courts with Pilate, who sent him then to Herod, who sent him back to Pilate. And finally, he said, that's enough. I'm going to wash my hands of this. And he delivered him over to the Jews. He was flogged. He ultimately found his way carrying the cross down to Golgotha, where he was ultimately crucified. And all that happened there on Friday. And then he was buried in the tomb. And that's, so if we think about all the days and the weeks leading, the days leading up to the crucifixion, that's just an overview of the things he went through to get to that point. Then Saturday, they posted a guard there. They sealed the tomb and posted a guard, the Romans did, to make sure that nobody stole his body. But Sunday is when he was resurrected, and that's where we actually become convinced as a world of onlookers that he actually is who he said he was, as God. And he did what he said he came to do, and we celebrate that because he actually made an empirically provable evidence that he is who he said he was, did what he said he came to do, and now we celebrate him as our Savior. And so when we think about 168 hours, he went through all of those events and many other things that he went through. But as I was going back through that, refreshing my perspective and appreciation of who Jesus is and what he came to do, as I went through that, it occurred to me two things I feel like are really appropriate for us this morning as we find ourselves at the beginning of Palm Sunday, the beginning of Passion Week, and that is this. Number one, Jesus was very intentional with everything he did that week. He didn't just haphazardly kind of float through the week and just kind of whatever it was. He was telling everybody beforehand, this is what was going to happen. This is what I need to do. This is what's going to happen to me. And there's some prophecy that he went through. But the whole point I'm trying to communicate is he was intentional with what he did that week. He was intentional. And every choice he made with his life was intentional, with something in mind, and that's the message we're going to talk about today. The second thing is the choices he made with his life that week were expressions of a message for us. And so if you're unfamiliar with the week that led up to the cross and then the resurrection that we'll celebrate next Sunday, I wanted to spend just a couple minutes walking you through some of those big things so you could see how intentional your Savior is and was with what he did that week leading up to the resurrection. And secondly, that you would appreciate that he was actually doing something out loud with his actions to mirror what his words were saying. So I'm going to talk to you today about the message that Jesus lived out in front of us through that week. And if you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, here's the message that God has for us, and that is this. God loves us. If you think of everything Jesus endured that week, the whole thing that drove him, the thing that compelled him, that motivated him behind all the choices he made is God loves us. Now we know this, in fact, not just because of words that he said, but actually demonstrating the action of that. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says this, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. In other words, he didn't just say he loved us, he demonstrates it. How did he demonstrate it? While we were still sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Now, I want you to understand something this morning as we're talking about the message. It's important to understand that God was giving us a message. It's also important how we receive the message. Because if we don't get it right, if we miss the point, we'll be tempted to live our life with the wrong picture in mind. Jesus was living out the love of God on display so that we understand for sure God loves us. And Jesus was God's reach in order to bring us back into relationship with him. At the beginning of Scripture, back in Genesis, we actually see where Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden actually fell to deception and followed sin by sinning against God. And when they did that, the Bible says they were spiritually separated from God, and God said, you will surely die. And in that context, spiritual death is spiritual separation from God. And even though they didn't die physically yet, they were spiritually separated from God in the relational connection that God had designed us to be alive in when he created us. And so the reason I'm going through all this is because God said, in that condition, in that state, you can't do anything about it. Your lostness is a terminal indictment against you. You cannot, through your own effort, get back to me. I'm going to have to come across the divide and save you. I'm going to have to come across the divide and save you. So when Jesus walked through the week that we call the Passion Week, he wasn't just trying to establish a religion. He was actually reaching across the great divide so he could reconcile us back to God relationally. Why? Because he loves us. God was clearing the way for us to get back into relationship with him. The second thing that goes with this issue about God loving us, he wants us to know it, and he also wants us to know that there is one way to get reconnected with him, and that's through Jesus Christ. Listen to what he said, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So here's the picture. He was saying with his own mouth and with his own life. Imagine that God is on one side. The Bible says all of humanity is on the other side. And there is a gulf between them. There's a gap between them that humanity cannot get across by its own effort. But God is going to make a way. The Bible says, John 3:16, God loved the world so much he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God is saying, here's how much I love you. I'm going to give you Jesus as the sacrifice to bring you back to me. So that's the picture of God loving us. But Jesus wanted to make sure that we knew he loved us. He also wanted us to know that there is no other way for humanity to get back to God except through him. Now, please don't miss this. He didn't say that there aren't several good ways. He didn't say that, don't worry about it, just have good intentions in your heart. I want you to know that everybody's going up the same hill on different sides. All roads lead to the top. Just have good intentions. Everybody eventually gets saved and get it figured out. We're all good in the end. Jesus was very clear on this issue. God is on one side. All of humanity is on the other side. The only way for humanity to be reconciled relationally with the Father is through who Jesus is. And that was his message to us. I'm not sure you see this yet, and I'm tempted to camp here just for a few more minutes, but let me just make one more pass at it. If you're on this side of that gap and God's on that side, the plight of being here is that there is no way to get to God except through Jesus Christ to be reconciled back to God the Father. And we live in a world who's completely lost on that idea. We're surrounded by friends, family, colleagues, people at work, people at school, people we shop with, people we play games with online, people we connect with on social media. We are surrounded by countless people who are still here, and they're not here because they think that they can just do anything they want to and all roads lead to the top. But Jesus said, here's the message. God loves you. And I'm the only way for you to get back to me. We got to get this. Why? Because there's more to the message. Number one, God loves you. Number two, he wants a relationship with us, which is what God is saying. Write that down. God is inviting us into a relationship with him. He's inviting us into a relationship with him, which means God is saying, here's what I did. I'm on this side. You're on that side. I'm offering my son, Jesus Christ, to be the bridge between the two of us. I'm putting this out in front of you so you can get back here. But what I will not do is walk across my son and grab you by the nape of the neck and drag you back over here and say, you have to love me. All I can do is demonstrate my love for you in the sincere hopes you will recognize the message and you will actually say yes and come back to me. See, the message is profoundly important. And we can't just think it's about doing Christian goody-two-shoes busy work so that we keep ourselves out of trouble, but every Sunday we come in and check the box and feel good about ourselves. No, no, no. There's a real message and it matters. It matters. So number one, God won't force us. To love him, number two, relationship with God is what matters most in life. It matters. This relationship matters, not just in this life, but for eternity. And I've got to get across to you something. I feel an incredible burden with this church, this service especially, that there are people downstream of your influence who still have not crossed this gap yet through Jesus Christ. And they've got to hear the message that he's the only way. Because if they don't get that message, the Bible says, Jesus said it very clear, it's not in your notes, it's in Matthew chapter 7. He said, there are going to be people someday that give an account in front of God with their life. And they're going to say, you need to let us into your heaven to be with you because we did wonderful things in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We were associated. They called us Christians. That's what in your name means. And we did many signs and wonders. We prophesied in your name. Everybody knew that we were Christians. And he said, there will be plenty of people who say that in that day, thinking that they're right with me. And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. It wasn't that you didn't do religious things. You could have done them perfectly, but there was not a relationship there. And God wants us to know that the message of the cross, the message of the Passion Week, is Jesus said, I'm going to get between God and you and provide a way. But you need to know I'm the only way for that to happen. And that relationship is what matters most. What our convenience in life doesn't matter most. Our blessings in life don't matter most. What matters most is that relationship, because when our last breath leaves our body and we stand before God to give an account, the only thing that will matter in that moment is that relationship. And I have every reason to believe that most of you in this room today listening to me have that relationship. And you're like, absolutely, praise God. Thank God I've got a relationship. But I want you to know that there are three parts to the message today. Number one, thank God, God loves you. Number two, thank God he's invited you into a relationship with him because that relationship makes the difference in eternity. But number three, write this down. God is counting on us to invite others too. God is counting on us to invite others too. Like, Pastor Dave, that sounds a little bit different because the first two points is all about God's message to us. And it's true that we have to understand what God did for us. But when we said yes to Jesus and came through him to get connected with the Father relationally, and our eternity with him is set up through that relationship, he wants us to know the reason we're still breathing on this side of eternity is for this point. We're still breathing on this point to help many other people come to know him too. Why? Because without that connection relationally, they don't have a snowball's chance in hell of actually avoiding hell and living in heaven. The only way to live in eternity with God in heaven is through Jesus Christ, and somebody's got to tell them. And we're tempted to think, yeah, somebody will take care of that. But listen to how God designed the whole process of this connection to happen. Listen to the urgency in Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 14. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Unless someone tells them. And let me tell you the someone God's talking about. The someone God is talking about and to is you. Every one of us that are followers of Christ have a built-in compelling commission to bring people to Jesus. To bring people to Jesus. How do I know that? Because Jesus said it in his own words. The last thing he said to the people who had followed him and identified him as their Savior, he recorded in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. He said to those people, therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations. And by the way, disciples, that context of the word disciple means follower. And the way you make a disciple is you bring somebody to the knowledge of who Jesus is and help them make that connection. And then you help them follow Jesus until the relationship with Jesus is established in such a degree that they start reaching out to help others come to follow Jesus. That's what he's saying. I want you to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Listen again to verse 20. Teach these new disciples. He's talking to people on that hill before he left. He's talking to them. He said, now I want you to go and make new disciples. Then I want you to tell the new disciples, this is what they do, and I'm with them just like I'm with you. And I'll be the one, I'll be with the ones that they bring to me as they go and bring more to me. What's he saying? It's personal. It's relational. I'm with you. This isn't about religion. It's not about church. It's all about relationship. And then the other part of that is when you get them to introduce others to me and then teach them to do the same, that new disciples, making new disciples, making new disciples, followers has extended for thousands of years until it reached your soul. Somebody told you about Jesus. Somebody invited you to say yes to Jesus. I don't know what that looked like. It could have been an invitation to a church service. It could have been an invitation to pray over something that was going on in your life. It could have been a home you were raised in that was actually Christ followers and they introduced you to Jesus there. Or it may have been a friend or somebody at work or a family member that told you, had the guts to say, listen, I know that we're cousins and everything, but you need to know something. Your relationship with Jesus is what matters most. How can I help you connect the dots? I don't know how that happened for you, but here's what I know. If you're a follower of Christ, somebody told you. Somebody told you. You know what that means? You are now on the hook to tell somebody else and help them come to Jesus. And the coolest thing is, you guys, he said, I'll be with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm with you as you're introducing people to me. I'm with you all the way to the end of the age. I'm in this process. I'm not giving you religious commandments, so I'll just be judging you from heaven and I'll say, okay, that was pretty good. No, that was terrible. He said, I'm there with you. I'm there with you. I'm there with you. I'm there with you. Why does this matter so much? Because God has a message. He loves people. He's inviting them into relationship with him through Jesus Christ, and there is no other way. No matter how much we wish there were, there isn't. There's only one way to God, and it's through Jesus Christ. I give you some good news. Listen, let me read this to you. I'm going to read John chapter 6, verse 44. Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. Here's what that literally means. Right now, God is working to draw people to Jesus. You know why God's working to draw people to Jesus who aren't with him yet? Because he's the only way. So here's the greatest picture I can give you. God, who's on this side, to lost humanity on that side, said Jesus is the only way for lost humanity to reconnect relationally to the Father. And that relationship is what saves them. And he says, I want you to know, you got to tell people about Jesus. That's what you're commissioned to do. But he says, hey, I want you to know something. From over here, I'm drawing them too. Here's the picture I want you to have in your spirit. When you open your mouth to invite someone to come to where Jesus meets people or connect in worship or whatever that looks like to you, whenever you do that, you can rest assured the Spirit of God is drawing their heart right then. You know why? Because Jesus said in his word, they can't get to me unless the Father draws them, which means God is drawing them. God is drawing them. God is drawing them. Let me bring this really up close and personal, because sometimes we can listen to messages like this and go, you know what? Boy, the orthodoxy of that is really good. That's a good reminder, Pastor Dave. Thank you. I hope my husband was listening to that. I really hope my kids were listening to that, Pastor Dave. Hope my mom and dad were listening to that, Pastor Dave. I hope my wife was listening to that. No, let's just you and me talk for a second. This commission is to you. Let me let me really bring this personal. How are you doing with this? How are you doing? How are you doing with bringing people to Jesus? How are you doing? Maybe pretty good. Maybe it's been a while. Maybe it doesn't even cross your mind on Monday at 7:30 when your alarm goes off that the day God has got out in front of you is more than just work or school or golf or vacation or a cruise or whatever else you're going to do on Monday. Maybe it never dawns on you that the reason you're breathing on Monday is to find somebody else who doesn't know him yet and bring them to Jesus. We know historically that of all the Sundays to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which we do every Sunday, of all the ones people may choose to say yes to an invitation to come to church and experience the Spirit of God working through people who worship, the one people may respond to the most is next Sunday. And I felt the Holy Spirit position me in front of you with a message this week. Number one, God loves you. Number two, God is inviting you to a relationship with him. Number three, God is counting on you to connect people with him. So let me ask you, no judgment, just by way of preparation, because we have a whole week left. Exactly what are you planning to do to get people here with you next Easter? And I want to ask it that way so this feels really personal to you. Because there's a good chance we'll collectively think, yeah, it'll probably be crowded in here. It's going to be a great day, Pastor Dave. People always come to church on Easter Sunday. It's going to be fantastic. And all that's really true. But I'm asking you, what are you specifically planning to do to make sure somebody who doesn't know him is sitting by you next Sunday? You know, I know statistically, more people will spend more time planning their Easter outfit, their egg hunts, the lunch, dinner, the picture, the trip to the mall for the Easter egg, the Easter bunny. I have no idea what your traditions are, but here's what I know. Most people spend far more time than spending trying to figure out how am I going to get people to come to church and meet Jesus on Easter. And on the off chance that that is describing you, I want to say, aren't you glad God brought you to church on Sunday, like Palm Sunday? Because we get a whole week to acknowledge the Father's drawing people like crazy all week long. What if we got up on Monday morning and said, okay, Father, who do we get today? I'm not sure what to do, Pastor Dave. Let me give you a couple of practical ideas. On the way out today, there are baskets of invitation cards. I guarantee you, if you don't pick a pack up, you won't give a single one out. You're like, how do you know? I'm slow, but I eventually get there. If you don't pick them up, you won't give a single one out. So, simple idea. When you walk by that smiling usher or greeter on the way out and they have a basket, do you know how hard that is to stand there with a basket of cards as people walk by? It's the hardest thing in the world because they feel like nobody wants what they have. Why don't you go, as you're walking by, go, hey, give me three. Like, yeah, here's three. Like, why would I do that, Pastor Dave? Because I guarantee you, if you don't get intentional like Jesus was intentional walking through that 168 hours between Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday, he was intentional with every part of it, with a message, and you are his message. But if you don't get intentional with it, guarantee you'll be sitting here next Sunday in your new outfit, thank you very much, and your hat. And your kids are gonna leave with Easter eggs, and you may win the Disney trip. But if you don't bring somebody with you who met Jesus, it'll be pointless. Not exactly pointless, that's a little grandiose. I feel like a drama queen up here just for a second. It'll be pointless. I don't want you to avoid church if you don't have somebody with you. My point is, be intentional this week for trying to get people with you. We've equipped you with invite cards. We've equipped you with digital media on our website, lifelinkchurch.com/Easter. It's easy. There are pictures you can go download and and put them up on social media or text them to people. Whatever it takes. But my question is, honestly, in your mind, think about it. What am I prepared to do? What exactly will I be willing to do this week? That one of the guys come up after the first service and said, Pastor Dave, that's it. I'm getting invitation cards, and I am not going to shop until all the cards are given out. I was like, that guy gets it. Now, none of the girls came up and said that. But that guy, I'm just kidding, naturally. That was me. But the funny thing is, I told Pastor Reed this morning, I'm on a new Easter outfit too. So I'm just like everybody else, I want a new Easter outfit. I'm going to shop, but not before I invite people. But that's my question, honestly. I'm not trying to be super like heavy, but sometimes I have to work to get through the veneer of Christianity to get down to the marrow of what's going on. Are you actually willing to be intentional this week with your reach? Because if you are, here's what I know. God, who has a message that makes a difference for all of eternity, for people who are lost without him, about his son, Jesus Christ, is drawing the people you know. Wouldn't it just be great if your hand would be the one who handed them the card and said, please, just this once on Easter, come sit with me. And thank you, by the way, for choosing the third service, because the second service is always usually really full. Let's blow out the third service and just pack it out with people who are ready to hear about Jesus. All right, here's my promise to you. I won't preach about tithing. I won't preach about weird stuff. None of that. It's going to be easy sermon on Easter. It's going to be really simple. Like, you don't have to get your life all fixed up to follow Jesus. He said, if you'll start following him, y'all figure it out together. So just let's follow him. It's going to be real easy like that. But I promise you, it'll be a message that people can say yes to. Let's bring them. It won't happen by itself. It won't happen by itself. There is somebody this week God wants you to invite. And I want to equip you with that. So this morning, as we close the service in prayer, I just want to encourage you, let God's convicting power really move into your heart and into your mind. Picture yourself saying yes to this challenge, to do what Peter and Andrew did when they heard Jesus come up beside them when they were fishing one day. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 14 and 8, one day Jesus was, 4:18 through 20, one day Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them in the middle of their work day. It wasn't even a religious service. He just called out and said, come and follow me, I'll show you how to fish for people. They immediately left their nets at once and followed him. That to me is a picture of somebody hearing the message from Jesus. I love you, I'm inviting you, and I'm counting on you. And for us to go, okay, that's true. So then I'm yours. Let's spend this week being intentional, all right? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your faithfulness. God, as we feel the message of your scriptures today, God, that you love us, that you're inviting us into a relationship, God. Today, God, I'm convicted that there are people in this room who actually need to make that the first part of reaching out to others, is that the first thing they need to do is actually say yes to who you are, Jesus, as the Lord of their life. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to say that there are probably people in this room who have been convicted, or it's dawned on you as I'm talking, that you never think about bringing people to Jesus. That should be a clue that your relationship with God through Jesus Christ isn't what it should be. And that today there's a decision you need to make to actually give up control of your life, to say yes to Jesus and start following him with the intention of being his reach to others. And it first comes from a relationship that you have with him. So in about 60 seconds, I'm gonna lead you in a prayer. And really all I'm gonna do is give your mouth words to say that your heart's already saying. And that is, I know, God, I've sinned against you. I'm asking you to forgive me for all of my sins. That I'm asking you to come into my heart. I'm gonna live my life for you and you only for the rest of my life. I'll follow you as my Lord and Savior. And I'll go where you lead me to go and do what you call me to do. In just a few moments, I'm going to be leading us in that prayer. But before I do that, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to answer the question inside, is this my day to say yes to Jesus, no turning back? If that's you, in just a moment, while everybody else is praying, I want you to open your mouth and join us as we all pray. You guys ready? Let's pray this prayer out loud. Heavenly Father, come on everybody. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth in your Bible. Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to die on the cross to pay for all of my sins. I'm asking you to forgive me for every sin I've ever committed, that you would wash me and cleanse me and make me new. Today, I've decided to turn my life over to you and follow you as my Lord and my Savior from this day forward. No turning back, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Come on, you guys. Let's celebrate this morning.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.